time to talk birds. John Latimer joins me now. I'm Heidi Holton, and we've brought in new Zoom guest with us now.
Yes, we're joined. Speaking of wild and rare, we're joined by Pam Perry.
Hi, Pam.
And Pam is a retired non-game wildlife director or specialist with the DNR. And talking about wild and rare, this girl has encountered a lot of wild and rare. But we're going to start off today with something not so rare, something that you and I occasionally are treated with. You said you had an opportunity to watch some foxes this past week.
I did. A week ago, last Tuesday, I was sitting right here, which looks out to the west over pastures. I have open land out there. And I noticed a little flash of orange. I was going, what is, oh, maybe it's the fox. And then I saw there were two. And I wasn't sure at first. I just watched them for a while. We all love to just watch things when you get an opportunity like that. And they were hunting. One was hunting. And one kind of grabbed a mouse and then gave it to the other one. And then they were playing. Then they were hunting. Then they were chasing each other. And this went on for quite some time. And I don't know how many of our listeners have ever watched foxes hunt when there's snow, but they leap into the air and then dive down, nose and front feet first. And so you get that long tail going, you know, it's this thing coming down. It's wonderful. But I think we're going to have little foxes in the spring.
All right. You don't think that what you saw, you think what you saw was two adult fox, not necessarily like a mother and an offspring? You think it
was? Yeah, at first I thought it might be a mother and an offspring. But, you know, the young one should know how to hunt by now. And the fact that the one gave a mouse to the other one, and then they really were just playing and chasing each other, I thought, So I thought that I'd never watched that before in all my years. I see foxes often, but I had never seen anything like that.
I was in a deer stand bow hunting one fall and watched a pair of fox work their way up the field toward me. And they were doing this hunting, kind of pouncing, but not that big arching dive that many of us have seen on TV or on some YouTube channel or something, but they're just fascinating animals to watch.
They are. And these two were beautiful. Their coats were gorgeous. Oh. They had these great big fluffy tails. Yeah. You know, they were in prime fur. It was wonderful to watch. And, you know, that's one of the things we like to do, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you watch fox, it's better to see them like that than draped around a dowager's neck.
Oh, yes. Yes. I love to see them.
Yeah. Well, tell me, are fox bad for birds?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, how can I say this? I mean, foxes have their spot in the whole system, and they eat a lot of mice.
Yeah.
And, you know, anything that eats a lot of mice, you know, it's good. Fox and owls, you know, they eat a lot of mice. And birds, you know, maybe they do. They take some birds in the spring or some young birds, but so do lots of other things. That's kind of just the way it works.
Just how it works out.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice to hear. And speaking of, you mentioned that owls take a lot of mice. What's going on? You know, we're coming up on our Christmas bird count season, and some counts are going to go on, some are not. Our count up here is going to be, we're going to do it, but we are remote. We won't have our gathering in the morning for our coffee and our lunchtime and that, all that's kind of gone. But we, many of us who have done it before, know our zone, know our area, and we'll just go out and do our count and submit the numbers.
And just
what are you going to join a bird count? Are you going to other than that, what sort of birds would you expect to go out
and get? And I don't know yet if I'm going to do any. We've had the Crosby count is canceled. I think that the Upgard count and the Rice Lake count are going on. And Upgard is between Pequot and Cross Lake. And Rice Lake is McGregor over in Aiken County.
Right.
Last year, I did Crosby and Little Falls. And you know, one of the things about Christmas bird counts, and John, you know this, they're big social events.
Yes.
There's always food. You're always gathering. And these are things we really are doing safely these days. The Little Falls count, for example, meets at the Perkins in Little Falls. They have a long table set up. People come in and it's just a big gathering and everyone orders breakfast. And of course, it's before sunrise. So you order breakfast and then you head out as the sun is coming up. You know, so I don't know what I'm going to do this year. Owls, you mentioned owls. Just had the first report of a snowy owl in the area yesterday. And it was southeast of Brainerd. I haven't seen it. It's on private property. It's really hard to get to. But they move around. And it may move out closer to the roads. Or we may have others showing up. But it's otherwise. Birds were expecting. Oh, it's quiet here. It's quiet at my feeders. I don't have hardly any finches. I've had a few redpolls. But we are expecting evening grosbeaks. I'm hoping they're going to come down. I know one person, well, two that have had kind of in the Brainerd, well, not in Brainerd, but Brainerd vicinity that have had some evening grosbeaks show up. We haven't seen them for years.
Yeah.
Haven't seen them for years. And I remember when we used to get 100 every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that was just an amazing thing. I've been looking for crossbills. We're supposed to be getting white-winged crossbills. There's a few people have seen those. I haven't seen any yet. So, in fact, I was out looking yesterday. I was looking for shrikes, snow buntings, rough-legged hawks, and, of course, anything else. And now I saw crows and starlings and geese. So it's just quiet. Now, my friend Butch, who's a birder from Crosby, he did see his first rough-legged yesterday. And what we think, rough-legged hawk is what I'm talking, yeah. And we think that early snow in October, and then, you know, and then we had more snow, pushed them further south because we didn't see them the way we usually do here.
Yeah, and your area is pretty good for rough-legged hawks. Talk a little bit about, you know, where, and snowy owls, same thing. Where should a person go look? I mean, if you're driving through a big, thick spruce bog, you're probably not going to see either one of those.
No, you're looking for open country for both of these. Snowy owls are, and the one that was seen yesterday, it's in the ag fields, and it's where they've got cattle. There were a couple of photos of it perched on the fence line, you know, look on the fence line, look in the trees, but you have to go out in the ag areas. And I will often go into southern Crow Wing County looking, because that's where we have more ag rather than forest. The rough-legged hawks are also an open country hunter. And, you know, they're just so distinctive that they'll hover. And for a big hawk, if you see a big hawk this time of year, hovering out over the field where it just is staying in place, it's that's a rough leg. That's what they do. That's how they hunt. Yeah. And they're hunting mice as well. So the snowies are hunting mice, the rough legs are hunting mice. They need kind of open ground, or at least not too deep of snow.
I usually see a lot of rough-legged hawks in that area north of Aiken in the big peat lands there that are mostly open. I did see one rough-legged hawk early, probably mid-October. I'd have to check my records, but It was really early on, and then nothing.
Then nothing. Yeah, I think they moved on through. And I love to go up into Aiken County. I go north of Aiken, And then we go up to County Road 18, which is in the northern part and down towards Palisade. You can see many, many rough-legged hawks when the conditions are right and at the right time of year. And I will say for our listeners that aren't as familiar with rough-legged hawks, these are birds from the Arctic, the tundra, and they move through in the spring and the fall. And they're one of my favorites, John. I really love rough-legged hawks.
What makes them your favorite? What is it about them?
Maybe because you have to be out in that spring or fall time to see them. And then when you and they also have all these different plumages. There's a female plumage, a male plumage, and a juvenile plumage, and this hovering that they do. And they just see, I always look at them and think, wow, they nest way up on the tundra and they're coming through and we get to see them as they come through. Yeah, I don't know. I just really like them.
So you talked about the plumage. If someone was driving along and happened to see a hawk sitting on top of a pole or something like that, what would tell them quickly that it is a rough-legged hawk?
Well, you know, hawk ID can be challenging. The rough leg often has kind of a pale head, and they have kind of a small head compared to, you know, you can say that there may be about the size of a red tail, maybe a little smaller, but there's a more slender. And they don't have a red tail. So if you're used to seeing red-tailed hawks, which we see a lot here and into Morrison County, you know, they're a more slender hawk. They like to sit on power poles. They'll just sit there. And they have a big belly band, a dark band across their chest. So as I say, some of them. Pull out your field guide. I think that's the best way to do it. That, like I said, absolutely, there's three different plumages.
Well, there's also the fact that, well, at least here in Itasca County, we seldom have red tails through the winter. I have to drive south. But you say you have red tails in the Brainerd area through the winter?
Sometimes.
Occasionally.
Yes. They're not common. We find them on the Christmas bird counts, but they're rare. We also occasionally find red shoulders.
Oh.
No, and I remember one year in particular, we chased a hawk for a while with the car because we wanted a better look at it, and it was a red shoulder.
Wow.
And that was early December. That was like mid-December.
Nice. I don't know that I've ever seen a red shoulder up here.
So, Pam, you mentioned field guide. Do you have any to recommend if someone is just starting birding?
Oh, Christmas is coming too. Uh-huh. So
Christmas is coming. Field guides are wonderful. It's different at depending what stage you're at. And you said beginner, Heidi. I like National Geographic. I started with the Golden Guide, like many, many people did. You just have to find what you like. I like something. And then I went to Sibley. I really like the Sibley guide, but it's big and heavy, and it has wonderful drawings. I like drawings for the most part better than photos. But then my most recent favorite one is the Crosley guide. And this is really for avid birders. You don't have it, John?
No. No.
Okay. Put it on your Christmas
list. I've got Sibley.
Yes.
That I use. And I have both. I have the big, heavy
Sibley,
I've got the smaller eastern half.
They did the smaller Sibley guide, which was easier to take in the field. Check out the Crosley, Crossley. He took in it, it's photos, but he took all the photos himself and does like a collage on a background so that you can see the habitat. And then you can see male, female, juveniles, and all this. It's my favorite. I got it as a gift from my nephew, who's also a birder. And I thought, oh, I'm not going to like this. The photos. Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Well, Pam, I have to thank you for joining us. Thank you for the tip on Crosley. That's great to know. And I will be, I'm going to put that on my Christmas list if it's not too late. Hint, hint.
Hint, hint. Yeah.
So,
and when, yeah. When you start seeing things, or, I mean, let us know, Pam. We'd love to have you back, too. It's a fun Zoom call on the radio.
Thank you, Hayes. First time I've done Zoom for KXE.
Yeah.
It's fun because I get to see both of you.
Yes.
It's a delight. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks.
What a pleasure. Thanks.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. It's Pam Perry. If you have bird questions, you can call us. Or if you want to learn more about the guides that she recommended for Christmas presents this year, sounds like John's going to be getting Crosley in his stocking. 800-662-5799.